I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
Oh, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
Hey, guys. Hope you're all having a fantastic weekend. I'm just going to do a roundup of the weekend's Diddy news. And also, there are tons of stories of Liam Payne have come out today. And it was Corey Feldman. We had a reaction from him. Let me get him up on screen. We had a reaction from Corey Feldman. I interviewed Corey Feldman years ago. I did a poll with you guys, and you guys have said that you want me to repost the interview with Corey Feldman, where he's talking about the two Coreys. He's exposing Hollywood and these heinous things that child actors, aspiring rappers, as we know now from the Diddy case, the heinous things that the young people go through when they are embarking on the star-studded trail for the glitz and the glamour and the gold of a Hollywood or a musical career profession. So I am going to repost the Corey Feldman interview. There are parts of it that I've got to just mute to abide by YouTube's community guidelines. So we're going to do the Diddy news first, weekend news, and then we're going to do the Liam Payne news. Tragic passing of him, the One Direction star. So Corey has slammed Diddy, breaking his silence on the star's charges. He spoke about his own alleged SA during his time as a child star. And he told me personally about that, and we did it in the interview. He branded Diddy disgusting as he awaits trial on the charges. Asked if he had ever attended one of Diddy's infamous party, Corey Feldman said, "I was a little too old. It's disgusting, and I'm so grateful that justice is being served. I hope there is a continuation of this and all those scumbags get taken down. Yay! Go, Corey. Because these children need to be protected. It's so gross." And that is so true. Yep, so Diddy's legal problems have been multiplying as more allegations have come forward. We had Busby on the channel talking about the 120. He released the six at the end of last week. He released the six lawsuits. We read some of them. But anyway, if you're not familiar with Corey Feldman, if you are a younger person, he was best known for his work in the 1980s films such as The Goonies, The Lost Boys, and Stand By Me. He has spent years advocating for the protection of kids from what he claims is systemic PDF files in Hollywood. He has claimed that movie studios, senior film execs, and even the Screen Actors Guild have all essentially ignored his concerns. He says Hollywood has tried to cover up child SA for decades, and he claims that senior movie industry figures are still trying to silence and discredit him. They are indeed still trying to silence and discredit him because half of them, at least half of them, are bloody well in on it. He's long spoken about the alleged things that happened to him and fellow child star Corey Haim, who died aged 38 in 2010. Both suffered as child actors, claiming they were both R-worded. In 2020, his film My Truth, the R-word of two Coreys, claimed, I'm going to have to say allegedly, that Charlie Sheen had R-worded Haim when Haim was 13 and Sheen 19. I must add that Sheen has vehemently denied Corey Feldman's claims, with his publicist saying at the time, these sick, twisted, and outlandish allegations never occurred. Period. I would urge everyone to consider the source and read what his mother, Judy Haim, has to say, publicist added. So Corey Haim's mother, Judy Haim, denied that Sheen had abused her son when the claims first surfaced in 2017. All right, so in terms of the Diddy news then, we have also got allegations from a former Playboy bunny. And I'm going to bring that one up now. Claiming that substances were used on her and heinous things happened. Right, let's go. I was drugged at this party. One sip from the beverage and one side of my face was falling. It almost felt like I had a stroke. And she is describing the horrific experience at a dinner party. She says that Diddy used Hugh Hefner's formula for parties, but added kids and hidden cameras. Wow. So this comes from the Mail podcast, The Trial of Diddy. The show is hosted by Marjorie Hernandez and Manhattan-based Kayla Bratley, reporter at large. And each week they explore developments in the story and interview people. And this week they looked at the seven new lawsuits. And they also featured an exclusive interview with Precious Muir, M-U-I-R. A London-born British TV personality who, as a young model, lived in New York and attended parties at both the late Hugh Hefner's Playboy Mansion and Diddy's white parties in the Hamptons. So she's claiming that they used substances on her and heinous things happened at the party. That's the episode guide. Right. All right. So the next news is the Liam Payne latest. I know some people were saying, who is Liam Payne in the last two videos? It's from a different generation, a generation that came after me. Sure, he was only born in 1993, but he became famous with the group One Direction when he auditioned for The X Factor in 2010. It was a boy band, one of the best-selling boy bands of all time. And he ended up in a relationship with singer Sheryl Crow, had a kid, B-E-A-R. And Liam Payne sadly passed away on October the 16th, 2024. Let me get rid of the old Corey Feldman photo. Stop sharing. There we go. Yeah, so Liam passed away just last week, and there's been all kinds of stories that have come out. His dad went out there and paid respects, and the fans came out and blocked, insulated him from the media. So the latest story that's just come out within the hour is that the police are probing two staff members at Liam Payne's Buenos Aires hotel for supplying him with substances hidden inside a soap bar box. So staff where he felt his death are being investigated for supplying him with these substances in the days leading up to the tragedy. These men are accused of smuggling various substances into the singer's suite at the Casa Sur Boutique Hotel in the upmarket district of Palermo. A cleaner and another member of staff are said to have hidden the substances in Dove soap box, which detectives found in his room following his death. They found white powder, crystals, tablets, and other paraphernalia in the third floor suite. The police have sent the chemicals, believed to be the white powder, and also the form of the powder that people smoke, the sizzle sizzle for analysis. Management of the hotel are understood to have been made aware of the unusual behavior of the unnamed man and dismissed one member of staff. Detectives have also questioned the man about his possible role in Payne's death. There were two guys at the hotel that were giving Liam substances, a close friend of Mr. Payne revealed. They sent taxis out to collect packages for him. One of the guys was working in the cleaning department. After Liam died, they noticed that one taxi was sent to the cleaner's home address. The hotel manager asked him why the taxi had gone to his home, and when he couldn't give an explanation, he was fired. The cleaner and another member of the staff had been interviewed by the cops. Liam was doing everything to stay clean, but as soon as he got to the hotel, these people were offering him alcohol and substances, and representatives of the hotel are declining to comment. Meanwhile, investigators at Argentina's Ministry of Justice have demanded a full toxicological examination before his body is released to his family and repatriated to the UK. It is a thorough procedure, which means he may have to remain in Argentina for up to 15 days until the full results are known. A post-mortem determined that he had died from multiple injuries after the fall from the third floor of the hotel. But lead investigator, prosecutor Marcelo Roma, has called for histopathological, biochemical, and toxicological studies to be carried out to confirm whether he was drugged and intoxicated. And we saw his father arriving to identify his son's body and aid the repatriation of his remains to the UK for burial. So that is the most recent story that's come out. We did earlier in the week do the story of him. He was on a talk show, Liam Payne, and he's asked about Diddy, and he talked about how creepy the handshake was and the experience with Jay-Z's bodyguard shoving him. And these guys, he just got really bad vibes from them. So we have got, let's see, so many different headlines. Liam Payne remembered across the world as vigils are held in London, Paris, New York, Colombia, and Stockholm, as thousands of fans unite to remember the life of the One Direction star. We've got heartbreaking resurfaced video shows Liam Payne and Lewis Tomlinson sharing an emotional hug on final One Direction tour. We've got inside Liam Payne and Zayn Malik's rocky relationship after butting heads in One Direction. These are all just come out in recent hours. We've got The Wanted lead a minute-long ovation to Liam Payne at Niagara Falls concert and credit tragic star for his support after late bandmate Tom Parker was diagnosed with a brain tumor. We've got Liam Payne fans to mass at London Park to pay respects to their hero. A source close to family speaks of the torment he was left in his room on the day he fell to his death. We've got Liam Payne is honoured in memoriam at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame inductees ceremony 4 days after falling to his death. We've got Liam Payne's complicated love-hate relationship with his bandmate, which proved they truly were a family. We've got the X Factor's Mary Byrne pays tribute to Liam Payne and reveals the late singer opened up to her about his struggles with fame. He went far too big, far too quick. They're all the ones that have come out today. By last night, we had, this one came out almost at midnight, Prince Harry's polo rival, How I Got Troubled Liam Payne into the Sport to Give Him Purpose. Almost at midnight last night, Liam Payne did not take his own life and could have been saved. Says source close to the family in bombshell new claim. We'll look at that one more closely in a second. And then we have got Liam Payne was forced to extend his trip to Argentina after his visa application to remain in the US was initially refused due to substance abuse, close friend reveals. Molly Mayhag utterly shocked by his death. Two women questioned by police over visit to his hotel room just before his death. So apparently they were ladies of the night and we covered that one in the last video. They said that they hadn't been paid. So the one that we want to look at that's got a lot of traction on here is the one where it's saying that he did not take his own. He did not unalive himself. Where is it? The one to Liam Payne fans, my semi on the memorial. Complicated. Yeah. There it is. All right. Let's check what they've got to say in this one. This sounds really interesting. This is from a source close to the family in a bombshell new claim. So, in the most comprehensive account of Liam's final hours, the Mail has been told those closest to Liam believe if an ambulance had been called immediately when he had collapsed in a Buenos Aires hotel lobby on Wednesday, rather than sometime later when he was back alone in his third floor room, he would have lived. The source said Liam didn't have to die. Liam didn't want to die. He had promised us all he would never unalive himself. He was looking forward to the future. If someone had called an ambulance when he collapsed in the hotel lobby instead of taking him back to his room and leaving him in there alone in a psychotic state, he would still be with us. They've got a point, because the balcony was 4 foot. And when he started smashing the room, that became a major concern in the phone call to the police, that he's at risk because of that balcony. So if someone's that off the face, you would at least try and get him into a room that didn't have such a drop, because he died plunging 45 feet from the third floor hotel room onto the patio below. That was at 5 or 4pm on Wednesday. And the police found various substances, including something called Cristal, which is a potent hallucinogenic which causes blackouts and psychotic episodes. So the source said, where did Liam get the substances when he had no money? Multiple police sources have said investigators believe someone in the hotel supplied him. And we talked about that in the earlier report, that one employee has been fired. So they are looking at these people in the hotel for enabling him. So the probe into his death is ongoing, and charges against those who have supplied him with substances are imminent. So he arrived in Argentina September 30 with his girlfriend Kate, close friend Roger, but his visa was expiring and he had to leave America to renew it. So he decided to go to Buenos Aires to see Neil Horam perform and get his new visa. But when Liam went to the U.S. Embassy in Buenos Aires the week before last, he found officials had Googled him and discovered he had spent multiple stints in rehab for substances and alcohol. They ordered him to do medical tests, see a doctor, do blood work and x-rays, and see a psychiatrist. And that was all that was done the first week. Liam thought the trip would only last a few days, but because of all the tests, he ended up getting stuck there. It's crazy, isn't it? After spending last week at a polo farm outside Buenos Aires, his girlfriend Kate flew back to Miami on Monday to care for the couple's dog while Liam checked into the Casa Sur Hotel. He checked in with no money, his credit cards weren't working, so he's spending all his time in the room. On Tuesday, he asked for a McDonald's. He was happy and in good spirits. The test results all came back totally clean on Tuesday, and he had an appointment at the embassy to get his passport stamped with the visa on Thursday. And then he was going to leave Argentina immediately. Honestly, these bureaucrats, they hum and haw and get in the way of such trivial things, while the big criminals just go free and they don't spend any resources going after the big bad guys. The source said a family friend visited him around 10 a.m. that morning to deliver his favorite American-style chocolate chip cookies from a bakery 3 blocks from the hotel. He seemed a bit tipsy, like he had been drinking, but he wasn't in a bad state. He was happy. He was replicating Fireproof on his computer. He loved recreating instrumentals, and that was his favorite One Direction song. He was redoing the beat. He was in good place, planning for the future, looking forward to going home to Miami to his girlfriend and his dog. Honestly, how it can just change like that. It's like unexpected bad weather coming in. Liam and his friend had coffee before the friend left. The singer ordered whiskey and champagne from the hotel bar before returning to his room. Around 11 a.m., the cops say the ladies of the night visited his room, but left at 3 p.m. after a row because no cash was forthcoming. Witnesses saw Liam arguing in the lobby with the women. So there was a theory that the women's, who they worked for, the people they worked for, came and did him in. Possibly thrown him over. We don't know. Around 3 p.m., the hotel called Roger, a friend of Liam's, to report the singer was causing a disturbance in the lobby. Roger arrived, apologized to onlookers, telling them he's a really nice guy, and took him to his room before leaving to run errands. Hotel guest Brett Watson from Chicago told ITV that Liam came back down to his lobby several times. At one point, he lay on a sofa in the lobby playing on his computer. Mr. Watson said there was an incident where he was very frustrated and was smashing his laptop in the lobby. There were reports that this was in reaction to receiving a mystery email. And Trudeau, Geordie did an excellent video about Liam Payne's ex-girlfriend. The book, the threat of the book coming out has been hanging over his head for ages. She's going to put him in a really bad light. And the stress of that. Obviously, it's complex what's happened here. We don't know what's actually happened. We may get a clear indication when the full investigation is conducted and completed. But when you think about all the forces on his brain that were making him act up, the stress of a tell-all book coming out, putting you in a really bad light, saying some pretty dark things about you, if you're that internationally famous, you know that the media are going to be all over that, and it's going to take a hell of a toll. So yeah, if you want to see that video, go to True Geordie's channel, because he's got clips from the ex-girlfriend talking about bringing the book out, and she is no joke. She is serious. Got that killer instinct. All right, so the mystery email thing. But sources say they have no idea what message may have caused Liam to explode. Mr. Watson said the final time he came back down, he actually passed out in the lobby of the hotel, looking like he was convulsing a little bit and had to be physically taken back to his room. Source said if Liam was convulsing, why didn't the hotel call an ambulance immediately? This is what no one can understand. He has never convulsed before. Well, quite often, if you call an ambulance, it gets registered then that there's been a substance incident at your hotel, and it's a strike against you. So quite often you get hotel owners, nightclub owners, trying to get these people out the back door or trying to get it covered up somehow because they don't want to strike against them, especially if they got like liquor licenses at stake and things like that. If he was that sick, why did someone take him back to his room and leave him there alone with an open door to the balcony? That is the big question right now. A hotel employee called 911 to report he was smashing up his room and to say they were worried he might jump. But the source said if they were worried he might jump, why did someone not go and sit with him? Why was he left alone in this room with access to the balcony? Indeed. Did they treat him differently because he was a celebrity? If he had been a regular person, would they have called an ambulance? Maybe they were worried about a scandal. Of course they were. They were looking after their own interest. If Liam was in a psychotic state, he didn't know what he was doing. He could have been trying to leave his room, and he went to the balcony thinking it was the room exit and accidentally fell. We are tormented by the fact he was left alone in his room after he had convulsions and was clearly in a psychotic state. There are so many questions. Who supplied the substances? Why did they take him back and leave him in his room? It was stupid and reckless. Leaving a person having a psychotic breakdown alone in a room with an open balcony is like giving someone a loaded gun. He did not know what he was doing. He was out of it. He may have been trying to leave the room. Especially if you're on hallucinogenics. Look at all the people who thought they could fly. People have jumped out of windows. Even the CIA. The old school CIA story, MK Ultra, one of their own flew out of a hotel room, I believe it was. A lot of different theories around that. And then Liam's father arrived to identify the body, and he was accompanied by One Direction bodyguard, Paul Higgins. So sad for the dad. Funeral arrangements will be made once his body has been repatriated to the UK, which may take up to 15 days now because of these new tests. The source added, the narrative so far has been wrong. People have been saying Liam relapsed and wanted to unalive himself because his life was so bad. That wasn't the case. He was in a good place. He was happy and making plans for the future with Kate, who he loved. Someone gave him substances, and those substances caused a psychotic event. The tragedy is, if someone had called an ambulance when he collapsed in the lobby and was convulsing, he would still be alive. And I think they've made a lot of good points. The source, close to the family, has made a lot of good points. And, you know, there are ways to unalive someone. There's probably going to be all kinds of theories. Who benefits? How much is his back catalogue worth right now? How many more sales are there going to be because of this? Yeah, no, Ronnie Rue, we can make all excuses and blame others, but it was Liam's choice to take the substances. It was indeed. And it's no cop-out. I mean, people take substances and they do things and they sober up and they've committed really bad crimes. There was a story when I got to Arizona, there was a story on the news there whereby father had been crystal meth psychosis. He'd been up for weeks. And it made the news because he was driving his car. His sons were on the back seat. And he thought one son was a demon trying to kill the other son. And he pulled over, picked up a Rambo knife from the car, and took his other son's head off. Yeah. Imagine waking up, sobering up from that. And you have done that to one of your sons. So it's not a cop out. For we all must take responsibility for our actions. If we choose to take drugs or if we choose to drink excessively, we all must take accountability for our actions. And the sad thing is that when you are on that trajectory, and if you looked at the last video I did on Liam Payne about how people need to resolve their trauma, because the things that happen to us in childhood, the things that we may not even remember, things that we've suppressed, they govern our behavior for the rest of our lives until we actually, you know, do the inner work, the inner engineering to resolve that trauma. And if that trauma remains unresolved, you are then on that trajectory of self-destruct and possible unaliving at any time. So people who can go psychotic like that, you know, even if they'd have rescued him this time, it very well could have happened to him again until he got the whole thing resolved. But, you know, it's an absolute tragedy. Our heart goes out to his family, especially his dad, when you see the videos of his dad out there. And I, you know, having baby Ziggy here right now, anything that comes between the bond of a father and the son, I just find it absolutely, absolutely heartbreaking. So I'm here at the house. We've been filming nonstop. We've got 4 days of nonstop filming. If you guys have been with me for a while, we have filmed David McMillan parts 14 and 15. He is our most reoccurring guest. And One Direction is the boy band we're talking about, First Cause. He unalived himself. Liam Payne unalived himself last week. Yeah, so it is all so sad. Yeah, so if you're familiar with David McMillan, and we haven't had him on for just over a year now, almost 2 years, I think. We've got episodes 14 and 15 coming out. We've got two completely new podcast guests we have never had on the channel before. And we've got an American camera crew arriving in 1 hour. They're going to film me for their channel. And they're going to film also my guest, Natalie Welch. Super insane story. She was sentenced to prison in Venezuela. She's arriving at the Venezuelan prison. She sees a load of the people on the roof with guns. And she thinks they are the guards. But no, they are the gang members. Yeah, and there's a lot of people getting unalived in this prison. What happened to the Locked Up Abroad show? So my Locked Up Abroad show is called Raving Arizona. If you're in America, it's called Locked Up Abroad. It's on National Geographic. If you are in the UK, it's called Banged Up Abroad, and it's also on National Geographic. And it comes out, it comes round and round on National Geographic periodically. You should try and get the producers to bring back Locked Up Abroad. I don't think they've ended it. Have they actually ended it? Because around the time my episode came out, I'm going to have to double check this. It was the most watched series on National Geographic. The whole series, that is. I mean, my ep premiered to over 10 million people in America. And it went to 40 plus countries. And the total views ended up over 100 million on it. Which is something else. So if they stopped it, I'm really surprised. But so I think Ron said he might be coming back tonight with a guest. And I've got Shane working on some more Diddy guests tomorrow. And we will come out with the headlines as well. Am I going to do a second episode? All right, so I've done another documentary that's cost a lot of money to make. With an American crew. They filmed me and my family. They filmed Sammy the Bull and Sammy the Bull's family. And that's coming out on a huge platform in America in January. I only just got to watch the preview of it. And that one as well is something else. I think you guys are going to enjoy it. And I hope you enjoyed the content that Ron did last night as well. So thanks for tuning in, guys. I'm going to eat. I haven't had a meal in a couple of days now after all this filming. But have a nice proper meal and get back to filming when the American crew get here. I'll post a photo of us filming David Macmillan, and I'll do it for you can see all the camera equipment and everything. It looks quite interesting. I'll put that on the YouTube community wall and the socials. But yeah, thanks for tuning in, guys. Take care, wherever you're in the world. Until next time.